This week on Super Skull, we solve the Kennedy assassination. And then we talk about comic books for the next 55 minutes. Alrighty, welcome to Super Skull. It's your weekly New Comic Day audio digest from Vault of Midnight, Earth's finest comic books and stuff since 1996. Recorded in partnership and at the Ann Arbor District Library. My name is Nick Wybar. I'm joined by Marcus Schwimmer.
Hey, ma'am.
Hey.
We just had a very in-depth conversation about Vanilla Ice and Cisco before this started.
Among other things.
Among other things. And let me just say, it's got me juiced.
Speaking of juice, we talked about the juice, O.J. Simpson.
Yeah.
We talked about Johnny Cochran.
Yep.
We talked about the biological father of the Kardashians.
Yep. Well, I was right on that one.
Who was apparently an attorney to...
defense attorney for O.J. Simpson, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
This is all shit that you knew.
Yep.
Sheesh.
Rolling around in your brain.
Yeah, rolling around my brain. Hey, I just want to say, though, I got a good feeling about this week. I don't know if it's the best week in comics ever, but I think this podcast might be best podcast ever. It's got good juices flowing right
now. You feeling it?
Yep, I'm feeling it.
You're saying we're about to get juiced.
We might. OJ Simpson just pops up. You've been juiced.
That was a good podcast, you guys. You just got juiced.
Thank you, OJ Simpson.
That's Curtis Sullivan. How you doing, Curtis?
Please refer to me as Casanova Frankenstein for the rest of this podcast.
Still trying to work your own nickname into this thing, huh?
What was I saying earlier? I think you should call me Caviar Onassis.
which was the name that you thought was the person that married Jackie Kennedy.
Well, first I said Caesar Onassis.
Right, which is also wrong.
But it's, who is it? Romero Onassis.
We don't know.
but you landed on Caviar Onassis.
I think it's a pretty good handle.
Husband to Jackie Onassis Kennedy.
Yeah, so...
We learned a lot.
Yep.
I've learned a lot of facts today that are bullshit.
They're all true. We've been fact-checking as we go.
Yep, definitely.
Yes.
Caesar Onassis.
Yeah, that's fair.
We're a weekly New Comic Day audio digest. That means that we talk about comics every new comic book day. We're here to guide you like so much... guide, like so much tour guide through an unfamiliar city.
Are you the one? Have you ever been to these tours where you see the person, they have the fun umbrella or like a glitter stick so that their tour group stays with it? Are you that person?
We all three of us are.
Oh.
But we only have one stick.
One fun umbrella
that we all share.
Betwixt us.
And we're in the city of Comic Town.
I'm ready.
And we're here to show you the sights of Comic Town.
Are you saying if like comic books and stuff like that was a town, we would all be like co-mayors?
We would be, no, just tour guides.
Oh, just tour guides.
Well, yeah. Okay. No, that's like Paul Pope's the mayor.
Okay.
Rob Liefeld's the mayor of comics.
Oh, right. I forgot.
Yeah, duh.
Yeah, we're just here to help. But imagine that city was this weird, hellish labyrinth that changed every single week so that you could never figure out where everything was.
Mm. Yeah.
That's what we're here for. We somehow have that information. We're going to guide you through it. Every week, we pick a few comics. We tell you about all the other stuff that came out. We answer a few questions. Do we do anything else? We all picked a comic book this week. Some of us picked graphic novels. Some of us picked comic books. Marcus, what did you go with?
So I picked a graphic novel this week that came out from Dark Horse.
It's Marcus.
Yes.
What's a graphic novel?
A graphic novel is, there's a couple different ways to look at it. It's either a collection of single-issue comics.
Yes.
That are bound together in one book, or in the case of Nanjing, The Burning City, the book I've picked this week, it's just a complete story.
So like a huge comic
book. It's a giant comic book.
Okay, well, that's weird, because I only read comic books. I don't read graphic novels.
Well, my friend, you should read this one.
Okay.
So, little factoid about Marcus, I'm a huge history buff. I talk about history quite a bit on the podcast.
No.
Yeah, I'm a huge history buff, especially the old World War II.
Yeah.
I have spent a lot of my years on this planet reading about and looking into World War II. It is a fascinating time in history. Nanjing, the Burning City, is about the Japanese invasion and occupation of China, which is a part of World War II that does not get very much attention.
And it's pretty wild.
If
it's
by
nuts.
Wild you mean absolutely horrifying,
yes
absolutely. Yeah, it was a very terrible, dark part of World War II. And that's saying
something.
So
you're starting us out light.
Yeah.
No, this is a very sad book. I'm going to try to not get overly emotional about it because it's a very emotional book. This book is a very good read. It is not a fun read. And that can happen. I think everyone should read this book, but it's not a party.
So walk me through it.
Yeah.
Is this focusing on a character? Is it focusing on,
yeah,
is it a big, broad historical
view?
No,
it's focusing on one Chinese captain.
Mm-hmm.
Japan has taken his city. And he's trying to get out of the city so that he can regroup with the Chinese military, try to do something. It's hard. It's a hard book. There, a lot of things happen to this gentleman in between the first page and the last page that are very difficult to read about. The Japanese were particularly brutal in their treatment of the Chinese during this period in history, and especially towards their women during the occupation.
And that's all in there.
And that's all in here. This is not a book for a young reader, for sure.
This is not a romantic World War II
story. Not at all. No. But that being said, man, it's really, really, really good. The art, it's a black and white, no color. The art's beautiful. This guy draws, his name is Ethan Young. He draws the scene. He sets the scene with his art really well. It's a tough book to read.
And this is all him. Ethan Young
it's
writes
all
it
Ethan
and
Young.
Draws
he
it.
He writes it and draws it. And but that being said, man, we need more books like this. It's a good book. It's talking about a part of history we don't talk about a lot. It's talking about a part of history that people don't like to talk about a lot.
Yeah.
Because it was a very, very brutal time in World War II. But you get to know the characters really quick, and you get invested in them. And their journey is a tough one, and it takes you along for the ride right next to them the whole time.
How was the art? Would you compare the art to anything? Is there like an artist touchstone?
Man, you know, I don't really want to compare it to anyone else. This guy's got his pretty own unique little style.
What's the gentleman's name?
Ethan Young.
Ethan Young.
Yeah. If you're interested in World War II, you'll probably like this book. I don't think this book is for everyone. It's not for the light of heart. I have spent a lot of time working in this period, and this book has impacted me.
Like as a time traveler?
No, it just as a researcher.
Oh, okay.
So I'm pretty familiar with this side of the conflict. But if you're not, this book could really take you by surprise, and it affected me greatly. I'm still kind of feeling the effects from that graphic novel, and I think it speaks to its power. How much is in this book? It's an emotional book. It's a dark book, but it's a story that needs to be told, and I'm sure glad I read it, and I hope a lot of people pick it up because it's important. It's an important part of history, and it shows that, if anything, what I like about this book the most is it shows that not one side is all the bad guys, and not one side is all the good guys.
There's a lot of humans.
There's a lot of humanness in this book, and I like that. You know, it's not cat punching Nazis. It's people who have done some. Everyone's done some bad things, and everyone's making tough choices.
Hey, Marcus.
Yes, sir.
What are cat punching Nazis?
Cap, as in Captain America. Yeah.
Captain punching Nazis.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's not Cap. You know, where it's just very like, you know, burr, 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 you know, here comes the heroes. There's a lot.
It's a little more gray.
Yeah,
if you will.
It's a very gray book, but man, I really am glad I read it, and I'm glad this book's out there. The art's dynamite. It's a quick read. I read it cover to cover in less than 20 minutes, probably.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. There's a lot of it is just picture. There's a lot of dialogue in there as well, but a good chunk of it's just picture. Read this book, Nanjing, The Burning City. You will be happy that you did.
That's Nanjing, The Burning City.
That's right, and it's $24.99, so it's a hardcover.
It's an attractive book.
It's a very attractive book. It'll look nice on your bookshelf. And it's a good book. I want people to read it because I want some people to talk to about it.
Yeah,
it's a really good one.
I will be reading it. I will take your recommendation, sir.
Thank you.
Excellent. Well, that I don't. You guys want to just cancel the podcast?
Yeah.
Yep.
I'm here.
Yeah, I think
we
should.
Just anybody want to try to follow that one up?
I mean, I'll jump in. I'll go the other end of the map. Try to loosen us up,
Curtis.
A little bit.
What was your pick? Just go right in. What do you got?
I'm gonna go with Howard the Human.
Pretty much the same.
Pretty much the same as, book. Yeah. Yeah, this is about Hong Kong, so it's different.
Yeah.
Occupied area in China, World War II.
Nice link, nice segue.
It was occupied many years after the war ended, actually, for multiple years.
Mm-hmm.
Also very tragic. No, it has nothing to do with that. This is Howard the Human. This is a guy named Howard. He's a human. He's trapped in a world he never made, a world of all animals.
Wait a minute.
Yeah.
There's a book called Howard the Duck.
Yeah.
Does this have any relation to Howard the Duck?
Barely.
Okay.
So Howard the Duck, as we know, is a duck trapped in a human world.
Sure.
A world of hairless apes,
yeah,
as he calls them. He has the superpower of being annoyed. he is short. He's ill-equipped.
Are you describing me?
No, not at all. That's Howard. But now Howard the human is kind of a badass.
Definitely a badass.
Oh, he is a bit more of a badass.
Yeah.
Okay, but to be clear, this is Howard the Duck as a human.
It is, essentially. It's like, well, what if we...
In a land of animals.
Exactly.
In
everybody's
battle world.
An animal. Yeah, it's super hilarious. He's drinking beer. He's telling a story of his night in a bar to a bunch of thugs.
That's the premise of the book.
That's the premise of Howard the Human. It's just a one-shot. It is written by Scotty Young.
Yeah.
Who's a funny guy. I like him a lot. Mm-hmm. A lot of people know him for all his baby Marvel stuff.
Yeah, this book had some funny moments, but I wouldn't say that. I wouldn't call it a comedy.
I'd call it a comedy.
Would you? I did not. Yeah. I thought there were parts of it that were funny, but I got more of a crime noir kick from it.
Oh, definitely. But a crime noir in like the 48-hour sense, or like a you know, what's the...
Goofball first.
Exactly.
Working off the framework
sure.
of a crime noir.
Sure.
Howard the Human wants to eat an egg so bad that it's driving him bonkers. And he's in a world of all animals, so it's illegal to eat an egg. You can't
do
it.
Not cool to eat an egg.
It's not cool. He also wants two strips of crispy bacon. Also not cool in a world of sentient pigs and other critters. So he drops some really great lines about, I'll give all the money that exists for one egg. It's really good.
Who draws this book?
It's drawn by this dude named Jim Mahfood.
Yeah, he's one of my rising superstars in comic illustration. He did Miami Vice.
He did.
Which was really, really great. Kind of similar little cop beat, but not as funny at all. But man, his art style is really unique.
It's very wild.
I dig it a lot.
Yeah.
What else do we know Jim Mahfood from, Curtis?
We know him from, he did a Clerks comic book with Kevin Smith back in the day. That was pretty good.
Oh, that was him.
Yeah. He also did Girl Scouts.
G-R-R-R-R-L.
Yeah. These are a bunch of like, what are they, like dope dealing?
Mm-hmm.
Not Girl Scouts, though? They don't sell cookies. They have no affiliation to the
Girl
Scouts of America.
Nope, they are not affiliated.
Yeah, so, I'm not sure where the Girl
spelled
Scouts part.
Though.
They totally spelled different.
Yeah, they were of that age.
Yeah. So Jim Mahfood, funny man. He conveys a lot of hilarity with the art. I think it's great. It's a one-shot, so you can just jump in and have a laugh and jump back out.
Have a laugh.
You know? And you don't have to commit. You don't even have to add this to your poll. Just buy it at full price.
Enjoy it.
Enjoy it. No
and
discount.
Just move on with your life.
That's right. Go back to reading Howard the Duck.
Yeah. Or yeah. whatever.
So, that's my take. You guys got anything to add? Who read Howard the Human this week?
I read it.
I read
liked
it. Yeah.
I thought it was good. I like Jim Mahfood a lot. I have nothing else to add.
Okay.
You covered all of the bases.
There's like a rooster at this one point. He gets like super shocked and he lays an egg.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah.
Super funny.
Yeah.
I did that kind of stuff. There's a lot of analogs to Marvel characters in here, too. And they're like animal names.
Yeah.
I won't give any of those away because they're really funny. But if
a lot
you
of
like
puns.
If you like, yeah, goofball animal puns.
It was stupid. It was just funny and stupid.
Yeah. I liked it a lot.
I thought it was good. And it's Battle World.
It is. And it's Battle World. It's official Secret Wars canon.
Canon of yeah, Battle World canon.
So if you're reading Battle World and you're reading Secret Wars and you want to, like, you're a completist, you have to buy Howard the Human.
Yeah.
You know, or your collection will
not
be complete.
And you don't give a shit about Battle World, just
yeah.
read Howard the Human because it was pretty funny.
Exactly. That's my pick.
I agree with your pick. I agree with both of your picks.
What do you got for us, Mr. Wybar?
I chose Space Dumplings.
Man, this book was dope.
So this is a new book from Craig Thompson. As far as I can tell, it is an all-ages book.
It is an all-ages book.
Scholastic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Put it out.
Yeah.
What else I read the first 50 pages.
I made it about halfway. It seemed all-ages.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What else has Craig Thompson written?
Well, his big ones are Blankets,
mm-hmm.
Which is widely considered like a graphic novel classic.
Yeah.
I think that's fair to say.
Yep.
I think he's in the conversation of like serious graphic novelists, if you know whoever's having that conversation.
Like if you're at college and you got your yeah. class like you know American literature writing
yeah.
or
if you're a dick
yeah
I think you're having that conversation about graphic novels as art. Craig Thompson is in that conversation
for sure.
Absolutely.
Yep.
Habibi.
Great. It's such a good book.
Which is like
that's my favorite one. That's my favorite one.
That's my go-to for okay. So you get somebody in the shop. We're in Ann Arbor. They're an academic. They don't want to be there. Mm-hmm. They got dragged in by somebody else.
Yep. Everything that you say is baloney. They're like,
they don't care. Oh, yeah. I don't want to be here. Oh, I'm just here for someone. It's me and my husband's here. I'm going to Habibi. I'm putting it in their hands.
Yep.
Every single time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm making that sale.
It'll change minds.
You can't flip through that book and not want to buy it.
It's very beautiful.
No, it's a really, really great piece of comic.
Yeah, it's amazing. Work of art. Craig Thompson actually is, all kidding aside, he's top tier graphic novelist. Chunky Rice. Goodbye Chunky Rice is the other one that he did. As far as I know, that's it. Maybe just those
what
three.
Else? Carnet de Voyage.
Thank you.
Which is his travelogue.
That's right.
In what, Europe? Something like this.
That's correct.
Also good.
Also
but
good.
I think that's it. And he worked on this. I was following the story of this book. He worked on this for like 3 years.
So that's the other thing with this dude. Habibi took him like 5 years to put together. This is also, as far as I can tell, his first full color work. And this is Dave Stewart doing the coloring?
Dave Stewart, yeah. Colorist extraordinaire. Well known for, being an industry staple for decades. But
that's right.
Lots of Mike Mignola work. And
mostly out of Dark Horse.
In Dark Horse work, yeah.
Talk to me about Space Dumplings. I really like this book.
So, this is the story of a young girl.
Yeah. Her mom?
Her name escapes me. Who's got the name? Somebody's got the name in their pocket.
Gosh darn it.
Violet.
Violet.
Is her name. I read it off the back of the book.
Yeah, I was going to say a different name from a different comic book.
What were you going to say?
I have Olive and Palmline stuck in my mind from Gotham Academy.
Totally different.
Oh, yeah, very
so
different.
It makes no sense.
Olive is also a color.
Yep.
Like Violet is.
Mm. Hey, all right. I was close.
Yeah. So Violet's dad is a space lumberjack.
He is.
Her mom is a fashion designer.
Yes.
And Violet's school just got blown up by aliens or something.
It was
got
eaten by space whales.
Space whales.
Eaten by space whales.
Yeah.
Yeah. And now Violet's got no school
to
go to, so she's got to go to work with mom and dad.
Yeah.
And I just loved it. It's this really cool sci-fi universe. It's super well fleshed out. It's very funny. It's very character-driven, like all of his stuff is.
Yep.
And like all of his stuff is, the pacing is just goddamn perfect.
Yeah. Yep.
It just walks you through these like really mundane stuff about like this little girl's got to go to work with her parents because she can't go to school. And they got to find her a new school.
Yeah, and she wants to be a space lumberjack.
She would
like
her
dad.
She would just as soon go hang out with dad at work.
It's a dangerous job.
And in the background of all of this, like, it's very slice of life, family kind of stuff. And in the back of it is a really cool little sci-fi universe.
The art is gorgeous, and I think Craig Thompson is wholly equipped to do, I don't want to call this a new art style, but it...
Oh.
But you know what I'm saying? It's different than your Habibis or your blankets. It still looks like Craig Thompson. I look at it, I go, oh yeah, I can see that's Craig Thompson doing this. But it has an all eight. It has a, I don't, is it softer?
Is it just the color?
Because it's very detailed. Maybe it is the color.
And it's a lot more detailed. So usually Craig Thompson's stuff comes in like pattern work.
Like, is it brushed almost his other stuff? Like he's doing it with a brush?
Yeah.
You know?
And it's very meticulous. And then sometimes there'll just be pages of like patterns that make you think about what you've been doing with your time on Earth.
Yeah.
Right.
This is hypnotizing.
This
is just spectacularly colored. Like it's a spectacle.
Yep.
This
little dude, I forgot his name, the little sidekick, one of this little sidekick dude she runs into who works at
the little chicken?
The junkyard. He reminds me a little bit of Chunky Rice.
Oh, I can see that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kind of a blob with a big mouth.
It's
really cute.
It's fantastic. I fell in love with it. I read the first 50 pages of it. You read a little bit more of it.
I got about halfway.
Yeah,
I didn't want to stop. I had to read all these other comics. I was going to plow through the whole thing.
Yeah, I didn't want to stop either.
Yeah,
it's always an event when this dude comes out with a comic.
Absolutely,
it's a huge deal. Like in the last one we saw was Habibi, and it's been a while.
Mm-hmm.
So the fact that he went from Habibi to, which is very dark. It's about a girl being sold into a marriage, and there's a lot of sexual stuff that's pretty intense.
Yeah, there's some real intimacy in that book.
It's a lot. It's about intimacy, and it's about growing up with somebody, and it's about falling in love, and it's about, you know, kind of not being ready for stuff, and it's a very intense book. And to go from that to this, Craig Thompson is entering the pantheon of huge deal graphic novelists.
Yeah,
if he's not there already.
We talk about it all the time. Kids will come in and they will destroy our all ages section. They will read all of it.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, what's new? I can't wait to look at them and be like, read Space Dumplings.
Oh, yeah. This is going to everybody.
Oh, yeah.
This is going to absolutely everybody. Yep.
Yeah. And just for the record, it is Space Dumplings.
Dumplings. Sorry.
Yeah. Just throwing it out
Dumplings.
There. Dumplings. Because, like, in my head, I wanted to say Space Dumplings, too, but no. Dumplings.
And, yep. Everyone's reading it. It's going on the list.
Absolutely.
Cool.
That's Space Dumplings.
And it's a big old fatty, too.
It is a big old fatty.
What's the price on that bad boy?
That costs not but $14.99.
No way.
No, get out of town.
I'm not kidding. Really? I'm not kidding, gentlemen.
Wait, is it?
$14.99.
That's insane.
For real.
That's insane. So there's a giant stack of these at the comic shop. Find a copy of this book.
How is that possible? How is he making money?
That seems weird.
This is unrehearsed. It sounds like a commercial.
It does.
What we're doing right now.
No, yeah. Like, I really want to know how that dude's going to make. That's a thick book for $14.99.
It's a space whale of a book.
Hey-o!
You know, I like the way that he's a lumberjack, and then they talk about the logs that they're going to get later after that space whale eats some stuff.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
The logs.
The space logs?
Yeah, because, like, it's poop.
Oh, wait.
Yeah.
No, wait, I get it now.
It's super awesome and funny.
I get it. Yeah. Are those the dumplings?
Yeah. Oh. Yeah, space dumplings are space whale poop.
I love it.
It's super funny, man. Anyways, yeah.
Oh, man. Outstanding. Yep, that's all Space right. Dumplings from Scholastic.
Cool.
Craig Thompson. I was very excited to read it.
Yeah.
Shall we move on to the poll box, Jeff?
A lot of other stuff came out this week.
Yeah.
Did it?
Yep.
What else came out this week?
Well, Curtis is going to kick it off. Oh, no, he's not.
Let's just do a quick run through. Let's do a clap. Those were our big picks this week. Nanjing. Burning City from Ethan Young. Howard the Human from Scotty Young
and Jim Mahfood
from Marvel Comics, and Space Dumplings from Craig Thompson. Let's move on to the pull box.
All right.
Because that's just not enough. Three comics is not enough. What, are you just going to read three comics? You must be crazy.
All right.
Also coming out this week, Rat Queens number 11. This book is in my top tier of great comic books. I love it. I love everything about it. This issue is just as good as all the other ones. If you're not reading it, you're missing out.
Quick pitch. Rat Queens, go.
All-lady adventuring group in D&D-like universe does drugs and fights crime, but is really good and heartwarming all at the same time.
There's a lot of Cthulhu stuff the last couple, too.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's good. Good new artist on this issue, y'all. We keep cycling through artists on Rat
Queens. Yeah, I liked the last artist. Yeah. I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, what's going on?
Stop messing with my Rat Queens.
Dude's plate's really full.
I don't give a shit. So. Someone just gave you the option to draw Rat Queens. You moron, take it. It's a grade A book. Cuckoo done in history.
That's Rat Queens. Mark Curtis, what do you got?
I'm going to do Hip Hop Family Tree number one. You might be thinking, hey, I already saw Hip Hop Family Tree as like three graphic novels. Number three just came out. They're all in stock now at Vault of Midnight. But maybe you just want to try Hip Hop Family Tree. You want to see what it's all about without going full hot ham order. Now you can get it in single issues. Fantagraphics putting out Hip Hop Family Tree single issues. The history of rap music from day one.
If you haven't read
as a graphic comic.
If you haven't read Hip Hop Family Tree, I'm going to swear. So heads up, everybody.
Yeah.
Got it.
You're fucking up.
No. I read it.
I'm not talking to you.
Oh.
I'm talking to the listener.
Oh, I see.
We have microphones in front of us talking to the listener.
I see. You were looking at me, so I was like, I was getting nervous.
I got to look at something.
It's okay. All right, got it.
If you haven't read Hip Hop Family Tree, you're making a mistake.
Yeah.
You should.
This is a really cool way to kind of check it out. $3.99 mm-hmm. for one issue. It's the first part of Hip Hop Family Tree.
It's really good.
Even if you don't care about hip hop.
Which is crazy, but.
Which is like asinine, and I don't even have time to get into it. But. Check out Hip Hop Family Tree. Oh, is it my turn?
It
Manifest
is. Manifest
yes, Destiny number 16 came out this week. I haven't read this new issue. It remains fantastic. I re-fell in love with Manifest Destiny in the last issue. So I'm eagerly looking forward to reading number 16.
Comic's still good.
Star Wars Kanan, The Last Padawan. Again, I've said it a million times. I've said it five times, in fact, because this book is on issue number 5. This is the best Star Wars book out, and not very many people are reading it compared to the other ones.
Do you think that it is still the best Star Wars book coming out?
Absolutely. Lando may have stole my heart for a moment, but man,
you think that comic book is better than Lando?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
What about that last issue of Star Wars proper with Obi-Wan Kenobi?
Yep, that was great. Kanan is the most Star Wars-y Star Wars book because it's taking us to places we're not familiar with.
That's true.
And it's introducing us to new characters and races, and that's what makes Star Wars fun. This book kicks a colossal amount of ass. I don't care if you are a youth or an adult. You should be reading Kanan and the Last Padawan because this is the movie filler. This is what you read until December because it has the most Star Wars heart in it.
Well, sales pitch, September 2nd, 2 weeks from now, not even 2 weeks, Shattered Empire comes out, y'all.
Yep.
What's that?
Number one, Star Wars, Shattered Empire leads us right into The Force Awakens.
This is a
comic book?
Well, I was assuming it was a comic book.
It is. It's a comic book.
It's a comic book podcast.
Yeah. Go on.
It's a direct lead into the movie.
It is.
It's going to end and then the movie begins.
Yes.
In theory?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That's exciting.
Just wanted to clarify that.
So, not to steal the thunder from Kanan, it's a great book. You were right, Marcus.
Kanan?
Who's next? Kanan. I'll go next. Oh, Killstrike, number 4 of 4. It's the end.
Are you guys reading this?
No. Nope.
Oh, yeah.
I love Oh, Killstrike.
Yeah. Killstrike is like, what if Rob Liefeld's entire imagination came to life as one dude named Killsword?
Speaking of Bloodstrike.
Yeah.
Marcus right now
yep.
is wearing a bracelet.
Yes.
That a listener made for us mm-hmm. out of the pages of Bloodstrike.
Yeah, she was...
Am I getting the name of that book right? I've erased it from my mind. Was it called Bloodstrike?
I think it's called Death Sword.
I'm going to look
no,
it up.
No, I think... Either way, we have a listener...
Blood Pit.
Her and her husband are really great. And she heard Curtis's love for the newest Rob Liefeld creation. So she took the pages of that book, including many of the dicks, and turned them into beads and made us all three bracelets out of them. So I'm wearing my penis bracelet.
I left mine. I had to take it off. She advised that I not shower with it. Cause,
oh, right.
So I had to take it off for the shower, and then
you
I forgot it.
You had to be
it.
Advised not to shower? With the piece.
Well, sometimes I'll just leave. Like, if I have like a waterproof watch, I'll just leave it on when I'm showering.
Yeah. Yep.
Oh, okay.
You
know,
fair enough.
Yeah. Okay.
But it's made of the comic book pages. It's a really cool bracelet. And I know that there's just so much Rob Liefeld art that got cut up and destroyed to make this
good.
Bracelet. So it feels so good.
Yeah.
There's two things I want to say.
Yep.
Yeah.
First of all, the name of that book was not Bloodstrike. Or was it?
It was.
I can't figure it out.
It was actually Bloodstrike, but I like to pretend I can't remember because it's horse shit. So I'll be like...
I'm like legitimately struggling.
Kill Blood.
Was it Bloodstrike?
It was Bloodstrike.
Blood Strike.
That was the first thing I wanted to point out is that it was called Bloodstrike, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
And also that Rob Liefeld's website is robliefeldcreations.com.
He's a creator, man.
He's a creator. Is that, he a creator or is he the creator?
Read O Kill Strike.
Yeah.
For you know, sure.
So we've talked at length about various comics on this podcast. Mark Millar is a writer of some comic books.
Mm-hmm.
I will say to you now, and if you guys probably know this, he has called Rob Liefeld the Jack Kirby of our era.
No, he's not. Are you serious?
That is a direct quote from the mouth of Mark Millar.
Are you serious?
Yeah. I know. It burns like hot piss in your eye.
I want to walk into the woods until I can't anymore.
Oh man.
Yeah, hopefully the world is flat and it will end and I'll fall off the edge.
The Jack Kirby, come the fuck on. Hey, on a really great note, Mark Waid, Fiona Staples, Archie number 2 is out this week. You've heard me talk about Archie quite a bit. I love this book. You guys read this issue?
I haven't read 2 yet.
Oh my God, so good.
What's the pull at?
Wait, no. I know that 36? Something like that?
It's getting up there.
It's getting up there.
Yeah.
Give it time. It's like a fine wine. It'll get bigger. Hey, let me tell you about this Archie book. It's not your mama's Archie, and man, it's
but it kind of is though.
Well, yeah, but they're doing some fun stuff with it.
Yeah,
Jughead is getting his own spinoff by Chip Zdarsky. What was that?
That was just the sound of what it sounds like to unbag and board a comic. You're
Look,
gonna
man,
get
no,
used to that.
The listeners are gonna come out and rally behind me and all subscribe to Archie because it's one of the best books out right now. Really good.
I still want you to win that bet.
I
want to
win that bet too. Look, Archie, man, this is the updated Archie. They're talking about current issues that kids are talking about these days, and they're dealing with. I'm serious, and they're dealing. What?
I wouldn't go that far. I mean, I think it
the
is
current issues that the kids are talking about these
yeah.
days.
Yeah,
the kids on the streets.
Jughead has a.
They're rollerblading around and they're just talking to each other about issues. Archie's got its finger on the pulse.
No, yeah, I'm gonna read it. I want to read something that Jughead says in this.
Okay,
please do.
I think you'll maybe get what I'm trying to. Maybe Jughead will say it better than me.
I'm super psyched for the Jughead solo book.
Yep, it's gonna
be great.
On
a side note,
Jughead says, "You are who you think you are, not what people think you are. Be straight, be weird, be whatever. just be what you want to be. And if people don't like it, and then it just stops. Like, you know.
Dang, Jughead.
Yeah, be who you want to be. Don't give a shit about what other people want. Just be that.
That definitely sounds like the kids today, you know?
I was just going to say that. It sounds just like the kids today.
You know what? I was just trying to point out that this comic is new and relevant, and it's not the stale Archie that maybe you think exists in the grocery store. That's all I was trying to say. Mark Waid, Fiona Staples, Archie number 2. It's a great book. Everyone should read it.
Hey,
kids don't hang out in grocery stores anymore, though. That's the other thing. You won't see this in a grocery store.
Bang.
Much like the kids today.
I just get all my food off the internet, drone delivered. Isn't that what the kids do?
What comic do you got there?
Batman, Son of Robin number 3. It's still coming out, and it's still about Damian Wayne and his kick-ass Man-Bat buddy.
Man-Bat buddy.
Man-Bat buddy. So you should read Robin, Son of Batman because it's dope, and it has Damian Wayne in it.
Nick, are you current on this book?
I am.
And?
Book's killer. Nick said that. That was Nick.
Was that me?
Oh. Hey, Nick, what do you think of Robin, Son of Batman?
I find it to be very good.
I'm going to go out and say that I think it's uncanny. Very okay.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you on that.
Y'all stupid.
I think that Curtis's love for Damian Wayne knows no boundaries. And that
I think you got the Damian blinders on.
Yeah, I think you got the Damian blinders on a little bit.
Hey, I just know about fun and having a good time, unlike some other people that will go unnamed or pointed at.
Like the kids
Marcus
today.
And Nick.
Rick and Morty number 5 came out this week from Zach Gorman. You guys been watching any of the Rick and Morty, the new Rick and Morty?
Nope.
I've only seen a couple episodes.
There is new Rick and Morty. They're out episode like 3 or 4. It's so good. It's really funny. Don't nod at me like that. It's a really good show.
Yeah. Yes, it is.
Do you have something you want to say about that?
Nope.
What is it? Did you try to watch it and you didn't enjoy it?
I gave it about 15 minutes of my
life.
I
knew you weren't going to like it.
It's so stupid.
I knew in my heart you were not going to like
it. It's so dumb.
Yeah.
I feel bad because Zach Gorman comes in the shop. He's a local guy now.
Yeah.
And he's the nicest dude. And I love talking.
But you're not talking about the comic. You're talking about the show, right?
Yeah,
now,
yeah, yeah.
Which is.
Right.
Yeah.
But, you know, and he's like the nicest dude, and I really like him. I'm so happy he shops at our shop. That show is so dumb.
Here's the thing about Marcus.
Yeah.
He hates funny things.
He does.
I love funny things.
No.
Prairie Home Companions, hysterical.
Perfect. Oh, my God. There was not a better thing you could have said than that. That's exactly it.
Look,
Marcus thinks that the funniest thing in the world is Prairie Home Companion.
Yeah, Adventure Time.
I can't think of a better endorsement for Rick and Morty than Marcus not liking it.
It's not funny. It's not a funny show.
No, that's perfect. Look, no, sold. Yeah,
Marcus's comedy bone hasn't matured yet.
No, it's matured past Rick
and
Morty.
It's Prairie Home Companion.
He blew right past it into...
I'm not ashamed of my love
pensioner.
For Prairie Home Companion.
No, you're not.
Nope, not one bit.
Strangely. But no, that's fine. No,
anyway,
people seem to love it.
We're just talking about the comic book. The comic book came out this week. It's good.
It's super funny.
Zach Gorman, the guy who's on it, is a real swell guy.
Yep. All right, let's move on.
Marcus, what do you got?
Oh, sorry, Mystery PI. This is issue number 2. This was my pick of the week a couple episodes ago. It's from Graphic India, this company that I think we are just starting to see blossom with some real great potential. This is a little mystery thriller via Hellboy, BPRD. But it's set in Indian mythology. Really, really great stuff.
Nice cover.
Yeah, really cool. Love it.
Excellent. Let's do a very quick wrap-up with what's happening in Secret Wars.
This week in Secret Wars, we got a new number 1, House of M.
It was real good.
Readers might remember this giant crossover from years ago where the daughter, or maybe not the daughter now, we don't know, of Magneto, also known as the Scarlet Witch, says... No more mutants, and eliminates all mutants from the world. Huge deal. So that's cropping up in Secret Wars. Secret Wars, Secret Love, number 1. Yeah. One shot. It was super cute and
it
funny.
It was real cute.
It was a book of romance.
I had some feelings. Got a great cover. Runaways, number 3. This is still Noel Stevenson. I love Runaways. I haven't read 3 yet, but number 2, the Runaways run away. So I can't wait for number 3. Age of Ultron, Marvel Zombies, Battle World, number 3. That book is better than it should be.
That book's got 4 titles.
I'm enjoying it. There's a lot of titles.
Secret War, Battle World, Age of Ultron, Marvel Zombies.
It's a lot. Captain Britain and the Mighty Defenders, number 2. Spider-Verse number 4. We got Peter Porker front and center. We got Spider-Man India on the cover. We got Spider-Gwen.
He was not making a funny accent. That was Peter Porker.
Peter Porker.
Yeah.
Spider-Ham.
Yeah, the ham-tacular spider pig.
We had a listener ask, like, why do you guys love Spider-Ham so much?
That's right.
Somebody's like, why do you guys think that's so awesome?
Because it is.
First of all, I love that you could just tell how awesome we think that is.
Yeah.
Second of all,
Spider-Ham's the man.
Spider-Ham is the shit.
No, yeah. And it's hard to
get with it. Recognize.
It's hard to make people understand. You know what I mean? How much do you love bacon?
A lot.
Everyone. Like a ton.
Yeah, everybody loves bacon.
Yeah, so Peter Porker. There's a bunch of bacon there.
Same difference.
Yeah.
Same diff. Different
Guardians
story.
Guardians of Nowhere.
Guardians of Nowhere, number 3. I love this book. 1872. This is a Western.
It's my
set in the town of Timely.
My favorite Secret Wars book out this week.
Sheriff Steve Rogers. Armor Wars. This is a mechanical, you know, city run by Tony Stark. Everybody has to wear armor because it's polluted.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually pretty good. And to finish off, this week in Secret Wars, Amazing Spider-Man, Renew Your Vows, number 4. I love this comic.
Excellent.
Yeah.
It's a good pull box this week.
Yeah,
gentlemen.
Good pull box.
It's a lot of Secret Wars, dog. That's like 10 Secret Wars comics.
Read Archie.
We also had a selection of graphic novels come out this week. We don't want to leave them behind.
We sure don't.
Even though we both picked graphic novels this week, Marcus and I.
Yeah, you definitely. Did.
What else came out this week in the graphic novel world?
So there's this dude named Jason. That's just his only name. Mm-hmm. Jason. He's from Australia. He does all these great comics that don't have a lot of words. This is a new collection called If You Steal. Beautiful hardcover from Fantagraphics with short stories from Jason. Holy crap. If you have not experienced this guy yet, you should. He's got a ton of books.
I love this dude. I think we're going to get into this. Jason might come up in our listener question this week.
Oh, yeah.
A little bit.
Okay.
Because he's a pretty perfect example of just like this, like Craig Thompson in a lot of ways, just like the graphic novelist's graphic novelist.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
Those dudes that are doing it all by themselves.
And this is his medium. This is what he should be doing.
That's right.
Annihilator. This is from Legendary Comics. This is Grant Morrison and Fraser Irving. We all love this as it was coming out in singles.
So I'm excited about this because I was not able, we did not have enough copies of this because it just kind of, it spiked in popularity, and I was not able to keep reading it because everything
was
sold. We
missed like issue 3 or something stupid.
And there was too much stuff going on, so I cannot wait to read this all in one chunk.
Yeah, that was a cool book. Fraser Irving on the art, it's gorgeous.
Yeah, and Grant Morrison is having like this really cool renaissance in comic books right now.
I think
he's
killing
like, he's
it.
Like
killing
refound it. His stride. I cannot wait to read this.
Yeah. And quickly, I'm going to bring up Unbeatable Squirrel Girl. I think I picked this last week. This is the Volume 1 graphic novel, though.
Finally available.
Get into the game with Squirrel Girl. Do it. It's a beautiful book. Great writing, great art. Super funny. A lot of heart. And Island Number 2 from Image, which is that giant, beautiful anthology we talked about a couple weeks back. Brandon Graham and Emma Rios and Kelly Sue DeConnick and all these great people. So,
super stoked.
Yeah. So that's a pile of graphic novels.
So that was a big old pull box that we did
mm-hmm.
this week in Secret Wars.
Yeah.
And then just a little selection of graphic novels.
Yeah.
The segments don't stop a coming.
That's we're just going to keep.
You know, we also learned.
Segments.
We also learned. We calibrated Marcus's humor.
We did.
Rick and Morty, not funny.
Nope.
Prairie Home Companion,
very
really
funny.
Funny.
Very
crazy
funny.
Funny.
Yep.
Crazy funny.
Yep.
Marcus has the sense of humor of a 58-year-old man.
White male who lives exclusively in the suburbs.
That's right.
Yeah.
I think the people who listen to Prairie Home Companion are mostly rural.
I've been known to not turn Prairie Home Companion off just because I can't stand the radio that much and I don't feel like plugging my phone in or like turn on. You know,
there was a
streaming
time
music
when I
service.
Thought, like, oh, just leave it on in the background.
Yeah.
And now it like it makes me agitated when I listen to it.
Every Sunday.
It's like do you make a point? Do you set aside time in your day to listen to Prairie Home Companion?
Every Sunday I listen to Prairie Home Companion. I get off work at around 8:30.
Yeah.
Every once in a while I'll go do other things, but a lot of the times I will go home and I will cook dinner for myself and I will listen to Prairie Home Companion.
Ain't nothing wrong with that, Marcus. You know?
And you know what? It's good me time.
You're saying there's nothing wrong with that, Curtis?
Well, you know, it's like you like what you like. I mean,
okay,
you know,
you like what you like. No, that's true.
I don't understand how you don't like Rick and Morty. I mean, that hurts. I want to have a sleepover with you where all we do is watch Rick and Morty for like a full day.
That's my nightmare. That is my...
No, I want to help you, Marcus. Yeah.
I would rather swim in a bucket of ice cubes for a full day than watch all of
Do you
Rick
laugh
and Morty.
Out loud when you listen to Prairie Home Companion?
Many a time, yes, I do.
All right, let's do the numbers. I'm going to turn up my Kai Rizdahl a little bit, if that's okay with y'all. Yet another domination of the single-issue sales charts in July by Marvel Comics. ICV2 reports this week, Secret Wars number 4 topped the month with 221,041 copies sold to the direct market. Curtis, can you define what that term means for us?
I can. Yeah, the direct market is us, comic book stores. We are specialty stores that sell comic books and related merchandise, whereas everybody else would be known as the mass market. Your Targets, your Kmarts, your Barnes and Nobles.
Do we have to pay them money every time we say their name?
I don't know if we do.
I hope not.
Do they have to pay us money?
Oh, no, that's right. That's
is that how that works?
So that's the direct market.
Direct market. Yeah, and so that there was a time in the 70s where there was no direct market. And there was like a weird distribution system and all that stuff, and there was no such thing as a comic book store. Mm-hmm. Comic book store is a relatively new creation. You know, in the last, you know, well, since the late 70s.
Sure.
Early 80s, so. Yeah.
All of these numbers that ICV2 reports are direct market sales. So, again, that's 221,041 copies sold to that direct market. Compare that against Secret Wars number 3, topping the June charts with around 218,000 sold. So that's a little bit of a comparison from month to month for the number one slot.
Yeah, and look at that. We were talking about this, how Secret Wars keeps going up.
Keeps going up.
And the trend is never that way.
And that's not a small jump.
No, that's nice. That's another 3,000-4,000 copies.
Yeah, which in the top, you know, once you get into those top-tier sales,
yeah,
it's no joke.
It's pretty cool.
Marvel also claimed the next three spots with Lando number 1 from Star Wars, Civil War number 1, the Secret Wars book, and Star Wars number 7. Point in fact, Marvel owned every spot in the top 10 with the exception of Batman 42 at spot number 5 and Archie number 1. In the number 7 slot.
Nice.
The final issue/volume of the legendary Fable series by Bill Willingham and Mark Buckingham released in July, ending its epic 13-year-long run and claiming the top spot in the graphic novel sales chart, 14,178 copies sold for volume 22, which also served as issue 250 for the series.
Nice.
Marvel, DC, Valiant, and Image Comics split up the rest of the top 10. The trade paperback Civil War, I thought this was interesting. A collection of the 2006 Marvel crossover events snuck into the top 10 at the number 9 slot, right in the hype train for the next Captain America sequel.
Yeah.
Which is based on Civil War.
Absolutely.
Do you think, and we think that's probably what it is?
I think it's that, and then it's also crossover fun.
Yep, crossover fun.
Yeah.
What do you mean, crossover fun?
I think a lot of short stores are putting the Secret Wars Civil War book right next to that one.
Yep.
Cool.
Yeah, and I think everybody's just in this kind of happy-go-lucky mood because Secret Wars has been so much fun. It's like, what else is there? I want to read.
Yeah, you know? What's the other good Marvel crossover event? I want to read more of this than Civil Wars.
So all of our kind of good Marvel crossovers, House of M, trade sales are up.
Yep.
Civil War, we've had to up our, we'd have had to triple our par on that book and the lead-in book.
Yep.
Yeah, every single week for, I would say, the last 2 months, we have sold out of Civil War, the graphic novel.
Yeah.
So this week I tripled the number that we normally stock. Hopefully it'll be enough. And yeah, I think it's the hype for the movie, but also, dang, Secret Wars. Thank you.
So that was kind of like the go-to good Marvel crossover for a long time. Civil Wars was.
It's very good.
Yeah.
It's a lot of fun.
But I think Secret Wars is gonna claim that.
We will. That will sell for a decade well.
As we continue to look at the numbers, I thought we'd do that thing where we kind of pick a book. What's a book that you liked?
Oh, yeah.
So I was thinking about, and on behalf of Steve, co-owner of Vault of Midnight, who loves Invisible Republic.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
He adores that book. And so we checked where that one landed in 255 in the top 300. 7,187 copies sold.
Mm. What about Rat Queens? Last issue of Rat Queens.
Well, I'm not sure that we had a Rat Queens.
Did we not last
in
month?
In July. I think I looked this up earlier. Yeah, we did not have a Rat Queens in July.
Mm.
Well, I'm not sure if that's true, but it definitely did not land in the top 300.
Top 300.
Yeah, that's right. Anything else you guys were curious about? Any other graphic novels, comic books that we might take a look? Bloodstrike number 1. Whose pages that one purchase of Bloodstrike number 1 is currently sitting in your wrist.
Yeah,
look at that
right there.
It's in the top 200.
That's right, 197 with 10,000.
That sold
554 copies sold. That sold more than
3,000 copies more
than Invisible Republic,
which is comically unjust. I cannot stand that.
Did it bum you out? Oh, you know what really bums me out is that it beat my favorite book that came out in July, Spire.
That's oh, insane. Yeah.
Number one. Spire number one sold 9,524 copies.
Such a bummer.
I just wonder who would order that. I don't. There, nobody likes that book. Who ordered that book? Retailers? You?
You blame retailers.
I do. It's a sad, sad state of affairs.
Did you listen to this? So when you were gone a couple of weeks ago, we had a chat about the actual audience for comic books.
Yep.
And I wanted to get your thoughts on that. Because the people that are actually, these numbers where these are coming from are comic shops buying comic books. So the core audience, in a way, are people looking through previews.
Sure.
And I wanted to get your take on that.
I think, you know, it goes back to a lot of stuff, but the older I get, the more I see gatekeepers as the problem.
Mm-hmm.
And that book should have died on the vine.
Bloodstrike.
Bloodstrike. Should not have been ordered. I think as a perverse curiosity, every store should have ordered one, and it should have got canceled due to low orders.
If there's any justice in the world.
It's just crazy pants to me.
And it didn't do spectacularly well. You know,
no.
10,000 copies sold is, well, you know.
It's not bad.
But, better than a lot of comics.
Yep. A lot of comics would love to have that number.
Yep. And it makes me think about
Spire number one would have loved to have
that.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
How many stores that ordered that book in any quantity have like a Witchblade poster that's sun bleached in their front window? I'm just saying. I just, you know.
You think there's a connection?
Absolutely. Yeah, it sucks.
I think you're right.
Anyway, moving on.
Those are the numbers for July 2015.
Yeah.
Sweet.
Let's move on to our citizen question.
Bum, 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 bum.
Thank you.
I think that was that Final Fantasy VII victory music?
Yeah, it was the level up music for Final Fantasy VII.
There it is.
Perfect.
Nice.
Yeah. Our citizen question this week comes from Bruce.
Hey, Bruce.
Bruce asks, you guys have a section of comics downstairs that is thematically different from the ones upstairs. This is a perfect impression of Bruce, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
What's the deal with that? And what are your favorite books from down there? Okay, so what Bruce is referring to is that in our Ann Arbor shop, we got two floors.
Yep.
We got our comics, our graphic novels and collections specifically split from the main level to the lower level.
Yeah.
There is a theory behind this split.
Yes.
What is that theory?
Marcus?
Well, so the books that go down into the champagne room.
We
don't call it the champagne room?
Not ever. Keep going.
I think it's the, what is it, the lower mezzanine.
I like that.
So the books that are down in the lower mezzanine area of the store are most commonly single author artist books.
So the author, the writer, and the artist are the same person?
Are the same person.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Normally these books fall into a kind of a zeitgeist for writing. They are books that one may consider to be a little bit more in the realm of academia.
Or just independently published.
Independently published.
Yeah.
I don't know if I would say academia.
Highbrow?
Well, I don't know. Not at all.
No.
You don't think?
No.
A lot of lowbrow down there.
A lot of lowbrow.
That is a good point.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I wouldn't put...
Mega hacks.
I mean, there's just...
Yeah,
you know,
no, that's a really good point.
Prison Pit is pretty highbrow, though, now that I think about it.
Yeah, so it's books that are written and illustrated by the same person.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's the main classification.
That is the main classification. As it happens, you might get some more, you know, your Craig Thompson's.
Yep.
We were talking about your Alison Bechdel's.
Sure. Yep.
Your
graphic novelist. Your Kate Beaton's.
But you have to say graphic novelist just like that.
Yeah. And you have to say, I don't read comic books. I read
graphic novels.
Yeah, exactly. You get a lot of those folks down there.
Down in the lower mezzanine.
So there's a lot of amazing stuff down there.
Alan's War, one of my favorite graphic novels of all time, is down there.
I'd say it's a treasure trove.
It really is.
Oh, my goodness.
It's a concentrated little section of some of the best stuff.
It's important to point out that we're experimenting with this as well, because in our Grand Rapids location, not the case.
Okay, so this is the next thing I wanted to talk about, is that given time, that will no longer be the case.
True.
Yeah, we think now, we've learned that it's a bad idea. It's a bad call.
Yeah. Why is it a bad call?
You know, because you would never, ever be loyal to a publisher or a company outside of comics. There's a silly notion that you can be only Marvel or DC. We've talked about it before.
Yeah.
You know, it makes no sense. You know, you follow the talent. And what we've discovered is kind of by putting it all down there, the folks who already kind of know about that stuff, that's where they go to look for it. And vice versa, the folks who only want Marvel go to the Marvel shelf. But there will come a time in this glorious future, Grand Rapids is already there, where it's all just together and it's mm-hmm. all just comic books.
So there's something we find really attractive about looking at, you know, Alison Bechdel right next to Batman.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's really cool to us. And that, so when we designed the Grand Rapids shop, we did that. That was in mind.
Yep.
When we put the place together. Yep. There's a giant wall of single issue comic books and they're not separated by publisher or by anything else. And all the graphic novels, they're all just squished together by title.
Yep.
And if you want to find all the stuff by Jeffrey Brown, then you have to talk to a human being.
Yep.
And they're going to walk you around and show you all the Jeffrey Brown stuff.
Right.
Yeah. And if you're somebody who doesn't normally talk to, you know, somebody you just want to go in and find your thing. And
yeah.
And it's so cool to have Black Hole. One of my favorites is Black Hole next to Blackest Night.
Absolutely.
It's my jam. You get your Green Lanterns, and then you got like Charles Burns' like super opus right next to each other. And like, you know, it'll get people seeing stuff they might not see. It's the best. It works so great in Grand Rapids. And where else would you go where you would literally be like, you know, where's your EMI section? You know, you would never do that in a record store.
Right.
That just wouldn't happen. You know, maybe a little boutique label or something, maybe. But right, it just doesn't happen.
And
show me your Universal Pictures.
Yeah. No, who cares?
No, I don't give a shit who the movie company is.
And it's really important that we don't, you know, they're all comic books. They're all part of this medium. They're all part of the, you know, the graphic narrative medium. And we don't care how many people made it. We're going to try and carry stuff that's good.
Yeah.
We're going to try to not carry stuff that's not good. Except for one copy of Bloodstrike.
Always and forever.
That we got rid of.
At 10,000... You know, Nick and I pooled our paychecks.
Yeah.
Bought as many of them as we could. Mm-hmm. And there will just always be one in Vault of Midnight for as long as
like whenever that one sells,
lasts.
We just put one more
yep.
on the
That's
shelf.
Right.
Yeah. But anyway, that's important to us. But there is a difference between the books right now. It made sense to us once upon a time that, you know, you keep, where are your Jeffrey Brown books?
Yep.
Oh, they're all next to Jeffrey Brown. That made sense to us once upon a time. But our thinking has evolved. Much like so much Donald Trump.
Jesus Christ.
Our thinking has evolved.
Well, that's my favorite thing about Don. He learns new information.
You call him Don.
Yeah, we're tight. Sure. And he folds that in.
That's right.
You know, it's like, it's not what he knew 5 years ago is true exactly the same today. No.
You learn.
He's been
you adapt.
Absolutely.
That's right.
You know, some people might call that flip-flopping.
Not me.
Not me.
I call it
education.
Evolving.
Yeah. Yep. No, you just exist on Earth. It's impossible not to.
Yep.
Have
if
a continuing
we should be
education.
So lucky if our comic shop can just have anything in common with Donald Trump. But I think in this regard, we're getting pretty close.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Thank goodness. So Bruce, I hope that answers your question. You just won yourself a hat.
Yes.
You get a hat.
Team hat.
And they're coming at some point in the not too distant future.
They're on a boat right now. I just talked to the boat earlier today.
Yep. Yeah.
Smooth sailing.
How do you communicate with a boat? Is it like a flag thing?
Well, we go by lighthouse.
Okay.
Oh,
yep,
nice.
We go by light signals.
Yeah.
Oh, your buddy, the lonely lighthouse keeper whose wife died?
I talked to the lonely orphaned lighthouse keeper.
Oh, it's all coming together.
Yep.
The lead singer of that band, Nickel Creek, is soon to take over from Garrison Keillor on Prairie Home Companion. Woo!
Wow. What?
Did those words make any sense to you, Chris?
Yeah.
Yeah, remember we talked about Marcus's favorite band, Nickel Creek? And we kind of thought it would be really cool remember that we talked about this a few podcasts ago. Nickel Creek, Nickelback crossover.
Yeah.
And it would be like Nickelback Creek.
Can't happen anymore.
It's not, the light is not coming on in his eyes. He doesn't remember it at all.
That's right.
Do you see a little lighthouse
above
my head?
Yeah.
Your lighthouse is so lonely, Nick.
The hats are on the way.
So, yeah, the hats. And they look good.
Yeah.
Nick, you fought for those hats, man.
I did.
And it paid off.
Yep. A lot of emails.
Big time.
Pretend like it was work. It was a lot of emails.
Yeah.
A lot of emails.
Fine.
It was a string of like 45 emails.
Well, it was 76 emails.
So, okay. It's a lot.
Bruce, thanks for your question. Well, thank you, gentlemen. Another podcast in the can.
That's another one in the bank.
Put it in the can bank.
Next podcast.
Thus ends another issue of Super Skull, the Vault of Midnight podcast. You can hear us every Wednesday, wherever podcasts are found. It really helps us out if you subscribe on iTunes, and if you leave us a review on said iTunes.
Yeah.
It means a lot because we read it, and it feels good to us. It feels good to our egos. But yeah. It also helps people find the podcast.
Yep.
Yep. It really does matter. If you have the time, we implore you. Our music was created by A-Bomb. Our logo was designed by Philip Wong. Our producer is Rachel Polk. Make sure that you follow us on Twitter and Instagram. At Super Skull Show is our handle. Does anybody else think it's strange that in this audio, audible medium, we have an Instagram account? Strike anybody else as weird?
It's perfectly normal.
Okay, then I don't find it weird either. Check out our website, superskullshow.com. Send us questions that we will answer, and you can win a hat, a Super Skull hat. Super Skull is brought to you by Vault of Midnight, Earth's finest comic books and stuff since 1996. This is Nick Weibar for Garrison Keillor and Caviar Onassis wishing you good reading. Until next week. The premise of this prank show is that random things would happen, and then O.J. Simpson was just like in the background, just like hanging out. Sometimes he would be involved, and sometimes he wasn't. And then at the end of it, he'd go, "You just got juiced." This is fucking true,
God
by the way. This actually happened.
Can we, God bless America.
I'm going to buy that tonight.
There's a whole skit. They've sold less than 100 copies. I'm sure after this American Life thing came out that it's moved quite a bit more. There's a whole skit about he is a used car salesman, and he's like selling a white Bronco.
No.
Yeah.
No, that's not true.
It's fucking intense. I implore you, you got to check out this little piece.
You know you don't got to buy that. That shit's online already.
I will steal it or buy it. Come hell or high water, I will be watching it in the next 48 hours.
You just got juiced.
Juiced!
Think about that.